better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Had a few people calling and texting into the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. By the way, this one came from the 479. It says, Tommy, my seven-year-old just heard that you say eat popcorn for breakfast. He said, I would love to eat popcorn for breakfast.
I guess if you have enough butter on it, it wouldn't be bad, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, popcorn's healthy, though, right? I mean, it doesn't.
I don't think so.
What part of the food group is popcorn?
It's a vegetable, right?
Because it's from a seed, right?
Right. So corn's a vegetable, right?
Yeah.
There's no arguing that.
No, that's a fact.
We were having this argument. They're not arguing this discussion the other night about fruits and vegetables, you know?
Yeah. About what's
a fruit and what's a vegetable? Because, you know, like tomatoes
are fruits, which
actually a fruit, but we all consider it a vegetable.
More so of a vegetable.
What's a cucumber? Because it's got seeds in it.
Yeah. Ooh, so that's a good one. Or like, for instance, a potato. Or a bean. Like, what's a bean? Is a bean a vegetable?
No, bean is lagoon.
Who says lagoons? No one uses lagoons these days. Maddie, what is a is a tomato a fruit? Is a potato a vegetable?
I think technically it's a fruit, but it's only because I've heard that so many times. To me, I think of it as a vegetable when it's on my plate.
Yeah, because it's like when you get vegetables.
When your
on
mother
your
says eat your vegetables, she's meaning your tomatoes.
Like if I have a tomato in my salad, I don't think now I'm eating a fruit salad.
Exactly.
There you go. That's it. See,
you gotta throw strawberries in there for that.
That's right. If you're gonna do that, that's the way you have to make it work. So let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. This fall camp, they said John Stephen Jones was the one that got him in the end zone the most consistent. And then we didn't hear anything from John Stephen Jones until now. So what I think is that these guys, both these rookies, they'll get in there and they're going to make some good plays. And then they're going to, it's going to be a struggle at times. But I do think if you add it all up, our offense will be better. It just looks like they both moved the ball better than what we had. And the thing about redshirting all these players is they are eligible to transfer and not have to sit out, unfortunately. Right?
No. It's
this would be their redshirt year.
Correct, yeah. So if they're redshirting this year, they would still have to sit out a year next year.
So they'd have to have two redshirt years?
Well, it'd be a transfer year.
Yeah, it'd be a transfer year. So
that's what I'm saying.
Right,
they can transfer and not have to sit out wherever they go.
No.
I don't think that's correct.
The only way that you would be able to sit out or not be able to sit out is if you're a graduate transfer. Now,
correct.
If you do that, or if you get a waiver, which if you're a great quarterback, that's what you get apparently in these days.
So you got a red shirt 2 years.
It's not a red shirt year; it's a transfer year.
Correct, but
what I'm saying, all the players that are redshirted this year. After this year's over, can they transfer and go somewhere else and not have to sit out?
No.
This is their redshirt year, right?
You get 5 years to play four.
Yes. So if this is their redshirt year this year, no matter what, if they transfer out to a Division I school, they will have to sit out a year.
So take Trey Knox or Burks or someone that has played
significant amount
and did
of time.
Not redshirt this year, and they have played at the end of their 4 years. If they graduate and they have their degree at the end of what would be, their junior year.
Mm-hmm.
They have played, they would have a year, they could transfer as a graduate then and not sit out.
Well, that's confusing because
that is.
A lot of these players, this will be the redshirt year, and I just wonder if some of them would jump ship.
Now, once you've used that redshirt season, you've used that part up, so That 1 year in there, that extra year where you get five to play four, unless you get a waiver. Now, we've seen players that have had extraordinary injuries or excessive injuries get a waiver. You know, Cody Walker was a player that seemed like he played 10 years here, but I think he played six you know, he had 6 years of eligibility, which is a very uncommon. Mm-hmm. But he had two season-ending injuries. And, I mean, so there are exceptions, but they are very rare. And the NCAA, when they get around to it, can give waivers from time to time. But they are rare.
Well, Arkansas got a commitment over the weekend. As bad as things were, I just can't believe the empty seats and on all that. But what's going to hurt is if we have a change in coaches, we're going to lose recruits. I mean, I just don't know. If we can find a recruiter that can recruit Texas as good as Chad Morris, that's a better coach, I'm thinking pull the trigger on it. But we're talking about the quarterbacks and offense, but this is a defense that is historically bad. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, this defense has not, as far as statistically, I think they're a little better than what they were last year, but still this two-year stretch has been pretty awful.
Well, don't know how to tackle, do we?
Yeah, Clay went, well, you're the worst tackling. As far as missed tackles, you're averaging just over 12 a game, and that's worst in the league. Clay went through some of the numbers yesterday as far as historically where some of the yards given up ranks, and these are some of the worst performances ever. I mean, it's not up there with USC when you know they gave up a quarter mile or whatever it was. Yeah. But, yeah, these are some of the worst all-time performances defensively.
Well, guys, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
Well, hey, thanks, Danny.
Appreciate it as always, Danny. Yeah, it's – and, that, you know, speaking of the redshirt rule that Danny was asking about, this is something – and give major kudos to Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com who put this out yesterday. And he's the one that put the pen to paper, as Tommy would say, and did the research on this. Because the redshirt rule, as we all know, you get 4 games. If you play in more than 4 games, you are not eligible to redshirt.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many snaps you played in those games.
It can be one snap.
It can be one snap. As soon as that you're in that game, that counts towards your redshirt. We all know that. Well, as much as people were talking about KJ Jefferson redshirting, which he is eligible, and he will redshirt this year, so he'll have a whole other year, there were a few other players that did not have the same similar setup for what has had for their redshirt. Jalen Catalon being one of those players from the defensive side of the ball. And also, I'm looking at his name just escaped me. Brady Latham, the offensive lineman. Because for whatever reason, and I don't understand this, I don't think anyone understands this, that with, for instance, Brady Latham, he lost one of those games in his redshirt because he was put in for a snap on a victory formation.
Yeah.
Against Colorado State. He was put in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Loses the game. Same thing with Jalen Catalon, except on the other side against Ole Miss. While Ole Miss was kneeling on the ball, Jalen Catalon was put in defensively.
So wasted a game. So now when you want to play young freshmen and sophomore players here down the stretch, two guys you'd like to play in these final 3 games, you can play them 1 game.
How does that happen? Why does that happen? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, I mean, that is something that has to be talked about and decisions made in meeting rooms with coaches during the week, and then a plan has to be in place. And I don't know what the coaches' checks and balances are during a game and how things get decided in the heat of the battle, but somewhere on the sideline, someone has to be responsible for making sure that doesn't happen. You know, you can say, well, that's Chad Morris's fault. Well, ultimately, everything's his fault because he's the head coach.
He's the head coach.
But someone on staff has to have that responsibility. My question is, what's the plan in place on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when they're meeting and discussing these types of issues and these types of plans for players and making sure that it's, you know, worth burning a player's red shirt for? I mean, Trey Knox or Treylon Burks, it's been worth using up their red shirt this year. You know, not, you know, foregoing that, and we'll save that for later on if needed. You know, you're going to use a year of eligibility in their true freshman year. Makes sense, right? This totally flies in the face of everything he has said about getting the most out of the 4 games and their player development.
Mm-hmm.
This completely contradicts the statements Chad Morris has made about how he wants to handle players that are marginal on being able to play at a level that they can contribute to this team. Get the most, because he's talked about getting the most out of the four games they can play in.
Mm-hmm. Being smart about it, I think, is the coin phrase.
Exactly. Does that sound like being smart about it?
No.
So my question is, not how they end up getting in the game for a kneel down. That, I mean, I understand that that's really the root of it. My question is, what were the discussions on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday? And what's the procedure and the plan in place as a staff when there's no emotion involved, when there's cool heads prevailing? What's the organization on that? And then what's the in-game plan? Because that's where you failed.
Yep.
You failed by not having a plan that allowed this to happen. That's the failure.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's the appearance.
Yes, and I can't imagine, and I know that, you know, during the game and things are going on, there's all these crazy, I can't imagine all the types of things that are going on during a game, but I just can't imagine whoever it was that when, for instance, the Ole Miss game, when you knew that Ole Miss was going to be in the victory formation, like the game was over, they were just going to kneel it. And what went through your mind or whoever made that decision to say, okay, Jalen, you have not played a single snap, get in the game for this.
Shouldn't the position coach know that this guy's a true freshman?
Yes.
Put in the junior or the senior or someone on the roster that hasn't played hardly at all and let them go. I mean, it's a meaningless play.
Yeah. And it's like, what's the point of that? Because they're not going to get any experience from that. It's not like, oh, get them some snaps. It's a kneel down. What's the point of that? And when you see stories like this, and again, kudos to Andrew Hutchinson for doing up the research on this, but when you see stories like this, it just really goes more towards, okay, yeah, it's a big problem to have this, but furthermore towards what you were saying about the organization of the entire team in general.
And I don't know, they may be completely organized. I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, we have a lot of meetings and plans and then plans fail, in execution.
Happens all the time.
I bet wherever you work out there, you know, you have a meeting and you plan to do it, do something, a procedure, some kind of rollout of a product, whatever, a certain way, and then when it comes time to do it, the plan doesn't execute right. But how does this happen with two different players? My question is, what was the plan, and how did this fail? Because you've got to have a plan on how you protect players from this happening. And if I'm a player, If I'm Latham or Catalan in this situation, they need to be given the liberty to tell their coaches, coach, I'm not going in, and here's why.
Yeah.
And the coach should say, you're right. Somebody else get in here. That should be, part of the discussion in the meeting rooms in the individual groups is if Dustin Frye tried to put Latham in, Brady Latham should have the to be comfortable enough to say, coach, I'm not going in.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation? No. You know? Now, I know they had some injuries, and Hutch did a great job also laying out injuries that occurred on the offensive line that forced some things, but that doesn't have anything to do with this here.
Mm-mm.
That had to do with some other games that he did play a little more significant time. Had nothing to do with kneel downs.
That's the biggest...
It was
worst thing of it all.
Well, it's just a crime against the kid.
Yeah, it's
you've robbed the kid. You've robbed Latham and Catalan of development. But you've robbed those two kids. Those are the ones you need to look in the eye and apologize to
for kneel downs.
You need to apologize to those kids and their parents because now they can't play in additional games here down the stretch because of your lack of organization, or that at least that's the appearance.
Yep. And I, you know, Moore should have to, like, I want to, I know that.
Well, he has to be accountable
for
this.
I know. And then I just, when he was asked about it yesterday, asked if he regretted how he handled their playing time, his response, well, Jalen's going to play this week. He's got a game left, and we're excited about Jalen. Brady Latham, I think, got substantial reps last week. Obviously, with the injuries to our offensive line, we've kind of had to bring him along. We were just trying to hold him as much as we can. So that's where we're at. That's not an answer.
No, that's not I really screwed up playing him on a kneel down and wasting a game for a snap or two.
No, that's not, that's not an answer.
Well, I mean, but who wants to stand up in front of the world and say, yeah, I really I really bleep this one up.
He should have to, though.
Why? I get, well, you know.
Because that's something that's, as we just discussed, that's a
but again,
major issue.
You know, neither one of us have ever coached football.
I know.
But I'm just telling you, as someone who tries to run a fairly organized business on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes I succeed and sometimes I fail. But it all goes back to how did you plan? What was the organization on this?
Yeah.
Because these are details coaches didn't have to worry about 5 or 10 years ago. Didn't. You either redshirted a player or you didn't redshirt a player. And then they changed the rules somewhere back that, well, you could play in certain percentage of snaps and it didn't count. Or if you got mono, it didn't count. Or, you know, there were some of these nebulous gray area rules. And then they just more defined it. Well, you can play in 4 games. You can appear in 4 games. So there has to be a plan. I bet Nick Saban has somebody in charge of knowing if we're going to play one of these. And it's harder to get on the field, obviously, at Bama. But I guarantee you, there's a plan in place on how they manage that. This is something that has to be managed so you don't waste one of 4 precious games for a kid. Now, Bama is probably less of an issue because you're not getting on the field very often. Or maybe it is more of an issue because they blow everybody out. I don't know.
Pick any school, though.
But you got to have a plan on how this gets organized.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, where the failure most likely happened in analyzing the situation is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, wherever you meet and talk about these things, your staff didn't have it put together right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they had it put together right in the meeting rooms, but they didn't carry that over to the battlefield.
They didn't execute it. But it's just, even though it's, you know, this wouldn't have ever even come up, or I wouldn't have even known it or recognized it or anything. Until Hutch wrote about this. And it's just when you really look at it, it was a botched situation. Yeah, it's a completely botched situation, and there's no denying that fact. It's just unfortunate that that's something that, like you mentioned, it's about the kid, and that's what it's about always, is about the kid. It's just a shame that their entire year went wasted because of a victory formation.
Well, it's just less time they get to develop and become a better player for next season.
Yeah, and I mean, I just like to know the reasoning. What was the reasoning behind putting him in there?
Here's my other thing. And I guess somebody can analyze it, turn you in, whatever. But who keeps up with this? If who is watching every play to know that that player played in one snap? Who keeps up with that? I mean, because in
true. In from the NCAA?
Right.
Oh.
In football, I guess you get these box scores, have participate, what players come in. Yeah. So it'd be in the box score.
Yeah. I'd like that job, though. It'd probably be pretty well paid, probably pretty easy. So I don't know, but whoever it is, I mean, it's just...
I don't know. I might be way off on what I'm thinking, but to me,
I think it's fair.
This isn't a deal where you just decide on Saturday. These were things that they probably had a nice plan in place on Tuesday or Wednesday, and they just didn't...
Didn't execute.
They bleeped it up on Saturday.
Yep. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Logan is in Tulsa. What's going on, Logan?
Hey, guys. I had just a couple of thoughts. So three things of how we're here now and then what happens next. So the three things that got us here, you look at Brett Bielema's tenure, his last 3 years, his total offense lined up with his record. So on average, he had on his 8-5 seasons, he was plus 75 on total offense for the year per game. Okay. Then his next year, he was 7-6, broke even. Okay. Then his final year, he was 4-8 and was negative 65 per game. Okay. Then you look at Chad Morris, we're 2-10 back-to-back years, okay? We're about negative 75, negative 80 yards a play, or a season, a game for the season, okay? So how I think it correlates is you've got crappy roster, okay? No defense, lousy offense, no protection, combined with really good young talent that's kind of changing the tide, and we all see the progression in the young talent with the Nets coaching, okay? So you just got really garbage coaching. I think going on, like y'all just hit on the last segment, it's a lot of, we're sitting here going, well, what are they seeing? Because we do not see that. And so I think it's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we get past that? I don't know if firing the coach and trying to reboot a recruiting cycle for 2 out of the last 3 years is going to help anything. I think you got to cut ties at some point, but if you cut ties, like we did with Bielema and DeMoris, you lost the recruiting cycle. And then you probably lost 2 recruiting cycles before that. Because let's face it, Bielema left us a dumpster fire. And Chad Morris is just trying to put out flames that they're building up. So I don't know if you're rebuilding any faster by letting go of a coach and trying to rebuild recruiting cycles in the SEC West when you're already a crap SEC West recruiting team. So now you 2 out of 3 years, you don't have recruiting going on. And so, I mean, there's just not going to be any talent for the next guy that comes in. All he's got is Traylon Burks, Trey Knox, and KJ Jefferson when he comes in. No defense, no offensive line, and you're saying to fix it to this guy, and you're going to offer him a $20 million buyout. It just, I come from the side, I get that it's frustrating, but at this point, can Chad Morris even get in his own way?
Well, Logan, let me, sorry to cut you off, but let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Is there enough talent on this team to win 4 non-conference games this year? Is there enough talent on this team to win two SEC?
Enough talent to beat San Jose State.
Yes. Is there enough talent to beat Kentucky, to beat Mississippi State, to beat Ole Miss?
So I think the frustrating part for Chad Morris has to be he got no consistency from another point that y'all made. The starting quarterback that he would name just completely crapped the bed when they got on the field.
Yep.
The backup would come out and look decent. Yep. You know, Starkle against A&M. Crap the bed the first quarter and a half, and then Ben Hicks looks like the godsend we need at quarterback. And then he comes out and he craps the bed. It's just there's no consistency on the starting quarterback that he names. And I get at some point you go, put in the young guys. But at some point you also go, if you're Chad Morris, well, hopefully I'm not getting fired after 2 years. I'm just going to keep my red shirt on KJ and try to get him built up on reps. And again, another point he made was they're definitely better in November through practices than they were in August. You know, the KJ we're seeing now was not the KJ that was in Austin. And so it's frustrating all around, but I think we're going to have to look at it and go, he's trying to reserve some players. I think he did it poorly on some random spots, but he's trying to reserve KJ's redshirt at that point, and he's just limping through the game 6 and 7.
Yeah, well, appreciate your phone call, Logan. We're up against it, man. My whole point is, though, is that, you know, you talk about a new coach coming in. No one's expecting a new coach to come in if they decide to do that and then him go undefeated. They just need to make a bowl game.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
All right, Matty T., I know you're the man for this because there's a lot of stuff going on in the sports world. So go ahead and give us your Morning Rush update.
Here's your Morning Rush update. Chad Morris announces that John Stephen Jones will be QB1 this Saturday versus Western Kentucky, and KJ Jefferson will play as well. This is a move that has needed to happen for quite some time, but it feels like it may be too little, too late.
As far as the wins goes, might be too little, too late.
I don't know. We heard some audio from the press conference, and that made me feel pretty confident.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's just bleeding with confidence at this point.
I feel like all the information was right there on his notepad for us.
Oh, good grief.
Razorback basketball kicks off the Eric Musselman era tonight versus Rice in Bud Walton Arena at 7 p.m. Razorback baseball coach Dave Van Horn put out a video in front of all of his trophies telling fans to show up to the game tonight. So if you don't, you hate Dave Van Horn.
That is the correlation there.
That is the way we look at things in 2019.
That's
right,
because Dave Van Horn's sitting in front of his trophies and saying, hey, show up to the game tonight, which means if you saw that video and you don't show up, you hate Dave Van Horn. I mean, that can only
that
be
that is the way you millennials look at things.
That's right.
Dennis Dodd reported yesterday that Lane Kiffin has serious interest in the Florida State job opening. Ugh. Although Kiffin denies it on Twitter, his alias of Joey Freshwater would fit in perfectly in Tallahassee. Oh,
isn't that perfect?
Well, he said Florida Atlantic. Of course you'd rather be in Tallahassee, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know, Boca Raton, isn't that where FAU's at? It's pretty nice.
Well, yeah, but
wouldn't you rather be in Boca Raton than Tallahassee?
I don't know what he's making in Boca Raton.
Okay, well, that's a good point, too. He could probably make a few more dollars right over there in Tallahassee for sure.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all the fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more, and controversial articles.
Apparently.
Only available at hitthatline.com.
All right, there you have it. Appreciate it, Matty T., for your Morning Rush update. That Florida State job, I mean, is that... What would you rank that? Top 10, top 15 job?
Is it still there? I mean, obviously at one time it was...
Jimbo was really had it going. And, of course, Bobby Bowden, the great.
I think it's because of where you're recruiting, it has to be a top 10 job.
Okay. That's fair.
mean, you're in the heart of Florida. I mean, you're in the neck of the panhandle there where it all, I mean, you're not far from Atlanta. You got all the Florida recruiting. You're in a league where basically if you can beat one other team right now, or that's the perception. Yeah. I don't know if that's the reality because, but if you can beat Clemson, you can win that league and you can go to the college football playoff. That's a top 10 job, I think.
You just remember the days that where all three big schools in Florida, Miami, Florida State, and Florida, were all good. Like, it's possible for
all the wide right games.
Yeah, Bobby. But it's like how they all can't be good again. It's like only one team in that state can be good now. And right now it's Florida. And, you know, for a while it was Florida State, and for a while it was Miami, but it's just like it always seems like it can't be all three schools or even two of the schools at this point.
So. I was watching, it's going back and forth. They had the Monday Night Football game on last night with the Cowboys and Giants during the break on, I guess it's ESPN. You or one of the they had the college football 150, all these documentaries, and it was on the rivalries last night. So during the commercial breaks on Monday Night Football, I'd flip over there, and it was, there was a part of it that was about, all the great Miami, Florida State, Florida rivalry games, and it showed all the wide right 1, 2, and 3 last night. So yeah, it's I still think that's a place the right coach will win. So. Mm-hmm. Just all the recruits right out your back door.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. You know, we mentioned how LSU, you can just recruit right there in the Baton Rouge area and have a championship team. You know, there's certain schools that has that. And like Miami is one of those. Like, you don't have to leave South Florida to put together a national championship caliber team. But some just goes to show you that you can recruit all well and good, but you got a coach, man.
Yeah, it's a two-phase deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, guys. I want to say, I don't like his decision on John Stephen Jones. I really believe it should be Jefferson. I think, and I'll tell you why. Someone I saw Saturday, he's definitely the quarterback of the future here, and John Stephen Jones is not going to be. People are going to pick up on this as he's trying to suck up to Jerry Jones to keep his job. That's what's going to happen. I hate to say it, but that's what it appears to be to me. What's wrong with this man.
Well, what makes you believe that? Like, what are you pointing to?
Well, look, KJ Jefferson looks something similar to Cam Newton on the first drive he was in there. Do you not agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
Why would you want to start anybody else over him?
That's the thing that we've been trying to figure out. But I still believe, though, that you've seen some good things, at least from John Stephen Jones as well, that could warrant him at least the start. You can play both quarterbacks, and I don't think that in this game, and I could be wrong, but I'm making an assumption, which we know what assuming does. But I would say that by him starting John Stephen Jones, KJ Jefferson is still going to play a good amount, but somebody's got to start the game. So it may just be one of those things where both of them play equally. I don't know how many snaps they're going to get, but I at least give them kudos to starting John Stephen Jones because he has performed fairly well in the games that he's been in, at least.
Yeah, he's done okay, but I know you know this, but if you go back to when Houston Nutt was fired and we hired Bobby Petrino, was there ever one time in the 4 years he was here that you didn't know who the quarterback was going to be that Saturday?
Yes, actually, one time that I can remember. At least I know in his first year, it was always between Casey Dick and Nathan Dick. There was some bouncing back. But also, even into the next season in 2009, if you remember correctly, that in the first game, I believe it was against Missouri State in Little Rock. I could be wrong about that. But Ryan Mallett started the game in the first half. Tyler Wilson came in the second half. But that decision was not made until right up into game time.
Yeah, but Skip's point is valid that there wasn't this ongoing deep into the season,
correct,
back and forth,
not
handling
the
quarterbacks like we've seen. Skip's point's valid.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you cannot. How do you expect your team to be together and gel into being behind one guy when you can't even make a decision on who that guy is?
Yeah,
you know, that's it. It affects the whole team. I mean, I think that's probably something to do with O'Grady. I don't know what he did, but I think that probably he was upset about stuff like that. No, that's just what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I may be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Well, appreciate your phone call, Skip.
Thanks.
And, you know, here's another thing, and it's actually perfectly timed and coincidence that you were bringing up the whole Jerry Jones angle. Now, this was just sent to me by a recruiting expert in the field, that Jerry Jones' other grandson has been offered a full ride to Arkansas from Chad Morrison, the staff. And his name is Paxton Anderson. He plays at Highland Park. He's a wide receiver.
All right.
You want to know his stats?
I don't yet. Play him on me.
23 receptions for 349 yards and four touchdowns.
I don't care if they were no catches, and that means Jerry Jones' grandson. So
yeah, but that's my question. You're okay with just offering a full ride to a kid?
Jones has done more for this school as a former player and an alumni, and donating. You know, it's just what you know. There's just some things you got to do. You know, can you waste one? Not really, but. You know,
I mean,
this is just the way the world works sometimes. Sometimes it's what do they say? It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah. But I mean, my goodness, but you got John Stephen Jones, you got Jack Lindsay, who's on scholarship, and now you got can you really afford to keep using up scholarships for the rich kids from the rich donors? I understand it, but man, when your program's in the crapper.
Okay. But when your program's in the crapper and you need someone to write you a big seven-digit check with two commas in it, who are you going to go to?
You're going to go to the big donor.
Okay. You want to alienate one of those because you weren't willing to offer their grandson a scholarship?
I'm not against it, but when things are so bad right now.
Who do you think paid for that scholarship?
When things are so bad right now, it just looks bad.
I understand, and you're right, but...
The kid doesn't even have any film. He doesn't have any tape.
Business is business.
I guess so. I get it. I totally get it.
How about a preferred walk-on?
Yeah.
How about we get you a, you know, how about, you know, what's a gray shirt? What is that?
Yeah.
Would he fit in one of those?
Can he qualify for the Arkansas scholarship lottery? You know, can we do that instead and then bring him on? I mean, again, it's the perception of it.
I don't know how you work that out, but there you have to find a place.
Yeah.
For a grandson of Jerry Jones to be on the football team.
I totally get it. Totally get it. It's just...
He has done too much over too many decades. It's just what you do. He built that north end zone entrance or whatever for the team to run. He gave them the money for that.
Yeah.
He's given them the money for the academic center where they get all that...
His name is on the
building. Yeah, I mean, you know... No, you work that out.
I know. It's all about perception is all. That's all I'm saying. It's on the Morning Rush today, though. It is a Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner Toyota. Let's go places. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Craig is in Deer, Arkansas. What's going on, Craig?
Morning, fellas. Yeah, my boy played college ball. There was a kid on the squad. You'd watch him during warm-ups and go, my gosh, what's the deal? I found out his daddy donated $26 million to the baseball complex, and I got it. So
it's
pretty simple. I get it.
It's pretty simple. Yeah.
It's a business deal. Anyhow, hey, I just wanted to – I'm really, really mad. I listened to you guys relentlessly, and last week something in my gut said bet on Mississippi. I don't even bet. I'm not a gambler. But when Michael from Stuttgart called in last week and guaranteed it, I mean, he was at his finest Stuttgarten. I said, man, I need to put about 200 on Mississippi State. And speaking of Jerry Jones, I believe the dude that's coaching the Razorbacks is Jerry Jones' guy. It's got Jerry Jones written all over it. I mean, look at Jerry Jones' management style. It's got Jerry all over it. So came from SMU. I mean, come on, man. The whole thing is, and I don't have any proof, but it just looks like a Jerry Jones deal if you've ever followed the Cowboys. But anyhow, I appreciate next time Michael calls in, I'm going to make sure and go the other way and try to put some money in my pocket because that was the most hilarious guarantee I've ever heard. I wish y'all would replay that.
Yeah.
it was an over-the-top guarantee. Like, y'all were idiots for not thinking this guy. Hey, man, this guy doesn't, and I'm trying to be, I really – actually, I watch Tennessee. I watch both of them. They both suck, but at least I see progress from one.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me again, what's better now that when the season started, name a position group that's playing better today than from the first of the season? I don't care about wins and losses. Just show me where they're being coached up. This guy, when you said he didn't have any experience as a head coach answering questions, my gosh, I guarantee I can answer him better than that. And just pull one out of the hat. I come up with a better deal than that. I mean, he, you know why he didn't have an answer? Because he knows he's out. He's not even thinking about progress for the future because he knows he's done. His biscuits are out of the oven. They're on the counter. He's done. So he has no concern about how the program is going to look better in the future because he knows he won't be coaching it. There's just no way they're keeping this guy. There's no way this guy keeps his job. Or there's naked, like somebody said, there's naked pictures of somebody somewhere. There's no other explanation. All right, I'm done. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Craig. I think it's pictures with animals, I believe, is what Lisa brought up.
As far as Michael, he may be wrong, but he's never in doubt.
No.
So that's the thing with Michael.
He has conviction.
Yeah.
He has conviction in whatever he says, that is for sure. But I'll tell you this, though. When people have been texting in into our Cherokee Casino hotline talking about Jerry Jones and how he's involved in this, this is all Jerry Jones is doing. That okay, listen, here's the thing. I hope you're right. I hope it's Jerry Jones is doing because – if that's the case, Jerry Jones will be the one writing the check for the buyout if they have to make the change.
If he made the mess, he'll help clean it up.
Exactly. So I hope you are right.
I don't think that's really where it's at. But that again, I'm like, Craig, I have no proof.
No. And how could you get proof? You know, it's not like we have Jerry Jones and we're in contact with him. Be like, hey, what was your involvement with the coaching search?
I got his number on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how you get around on your private plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Partying with Jerry Jones.
He got in late last night from New York. Up early. He's an early riser.
He's probably enjoying it after a big victory. But the point is that, you know, with this whole situation, I know that there's going to be a lot of people saying, well, it's because of Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones' involvement or this person's involved in all of that. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, it's still about wins and losses. It's about development. It's about getting better and showing progress, which Chad Morris has been unable to do as a head coach. And here's the thing too, Tommy. Say if this all goes horribly, as we all predicted at the end of the season, where best, because you say best case scenario is 4-8. And to me, that's the ultimate best case scenario without a doubt. 3-9 at this point, I think, is more feasible if they beat Western Kentucky this weekend.
2-10 is not out of.
Exactly. 2-10 is not.
2-10 is not out of, like, out of the realm of possibility here.
No, not at all.
In fact, you could make the case it might be the most likely scenario.
Yeah. And if that happens, and if they make a move, which they should, from Chad Morris, you know, people are going to look back on these 2 years, and it was like there was never even a good time. Because even under Bielema, there were fun times for fans. You know, he had the back-to-back shutout wins over LSU and Ole Miss, the Texas Bowl victory, the Ole Miss game, the Hunter Henry heave. You know, you had some really bright
this
moments.
Would be worse than the one than the 2012 season.
Yeah. You won 2 SEC games that year, if you can believe it. John L. Smith won 2.
Now he lost. Beat Auburn and Kentucky.
Yep.
Both those coaches got fired.
Yep. And, you know, also Jacksonville State, one of the other teams they beat that year, also got fired. So 3 of the 4 games you won, the coaches got fired. It's kind of showed you where you were at. But still, there's not going to be any redeeming moments of the Chad Morris era if it ends that way. You know, Porter just texted and says, but John, you got the witness club dub. I swear. Does that need to be removed from the locker room? I don't know.
Surely it already has been.
My goodness. It's just bad. So that's the real problem. And the real sad thing about it is if Arkansas decides to move on at the end of the season, there's not going to be anything that you can look back on in the Chad Morris era and say, yeah, I felt good then. Or that was a nice moment. There's just not going to be that. And who would have ever guessed that would be the case? Because, Tommy, you probably remember a lot better than I do, but I mean, was there ever a moment in the Jack Crow era that people at least said, oh, yeah, this is fine. Maybe he went to a bowl game at least, so maybe there was that.
Be a lot of people that were involved in that search and running around saying, you know, it really wasn't my decision. You know, because there was no official AD. There was an interim situation. Board was involved. You know, I guess it ultimately will lie at the feet of the chancellor, but you know, there would be a lot of people trying to escape responsibility for this hire once this era has come and gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Well, it really wasn't me, you know. Yeah. Don't be blamed.
It was really this person's idea. Yeah.
Really this person's recommendation.
Everybody's going to be throwing it on Julie Cromer people.
They'll be shedding blame.
Because she's not here anymore. So it's like, no, it's her. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what it was all about. So.
Everybody will be running from this.
Exactly. Let's get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the Nitro Championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, want to let you know that you can get your print on at the Ozarks. Holidays are just around the corner, and I want to remind you again, the Ozarks has the newest state-of-the-art printing and embroidery equipment on the market today. So if you're looking for a place to print T-shirts, any kind of holiday gift item, anything with your logo or graphic or design on it, they can do it. From T-shirts to canvas to leather to denim and anything, they can do it with the Ozarks top-of-the-line embroidery and screen printing equipment. Anything for the holidays, hurry in now and get a jump start on all those design ideas with their high-quality printing and embroidery equipment. It's all at the Ozarks, Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, and Ozark Sportsman Supply. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, John Stephen Jones will be named the starting quarterback for the Razorbacks against Western Kentucky. KJ Jefferson will be his backup, but will also take a lot of snaps as well in the game against the Hilltoppers. Cheyenne O'Grady is officially no longer a Razorback football player, as he has moved on to focus on his degree and on his career after football. Chad Morris has voiced his support for him. I mean, do we buy any of this stuff that it was just a mutual thing? Hey, he just decided to move on and concentrate.
No. There was, you know, because I just wonder, how does he get to the NFL? What is his path to pro football now? Is there a path?
I guess he's hoping he balls out at the combine.
I get, you know, well, can he get an invite to the combine? Because you just can't just sign up, hey, I think I want to go to the combine. Has he shown enough, done enough that the people in charge of sending out those invites will send him an invite? Or is it going to be about, is he going to be allowed to go through pro day at Arkansas? I assume the answer is yes.
I don't know. What is
the path for him to get paid to play football?
I think he'll get an invite to the combine. I
don't see him getting drafted.
He's so talented, though, man. I think somebody's going to overlook all the issues he's had.
It's not like he's the only talented dude out there.
I know, but he's definitely a very talented tight end. And, you know, Arkansas tight ends have had a lot of success in the NFL. I mean, my goodness, Hunter Henry, A.J. Derby, Chris Gregg, Jeremy Sprinkle. I mean, there's definitely a lineage there of tight ends, so maybe somebody look at that. I don't know, but he's moving on. I don't think anybody's buying the fact that it was just a mutual decision because they felt like it was best. Something happened or something has been going on, and this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. Also, in other Hog news, Bud Walton tonight. Arkansas starts the Eric Musselman era with a game against Rice at 7 p.m. They've made some game day enhancements for all of you, which includes free public Wi-Fi at Bud Walton Arena, which, by the way, I want to give a shout-out and kudos to the University of Arkansas because the Wi-Fi at Razorback Stadium has been fantastic.
And there's no one there to get on it.
Well, but even then, though, you still have, there was 50,000 people there for the first game, and there was still a ton of great Wi-Fi to go around. So it's been really good. So I wanted to give kudos. And that's going to be available at Bud Walton. They're also going to have family-friendly deals, which will include a happy hour prior to each game. It's discounted items, not including beer and wine, folks.
So hang on. Happy hour is an hour prior to tip-off? When did you say?
Prior to each game, we'll have featured discounted items. Fan records enjoyed special in games. It doesn't even say how long it is.
Okay.
But it's prior to each game. So I'm assuming when the doors open, you can go in there up until tip-off.
All right.
I assume. So, in-game promotions and contests as well. So they got a lot of things going on. And also beer and alcohol sales, they will not be available until November 16th. So they are coming, but just not right now. They're not going to be available tonight, beer and wine sales. So
how many games we got to get through? We got to get this one. We got North Texas. And then, so two games and then the Montana game. That's the game So that's a Saturday game, 4 o'clock game. Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that works
out. So Rice, no booze. North Texas next Tuesday, no booze. Don't need to be drinking on a Tuesday night anyway.
Why not?
I don't know. It's Tuesday. We're going to start this thing on a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, true.
Got to work on Wednesday.
They also have charging stations, too, by the way, which is also coming handy for those of you who can't keep your phone charged. So it's going to be a good time tonight.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Right now, let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Got a few of you calling in. Chance is calling from South Oklahoma. What's going on, Chance?
Hey, guys. This is Chance Sparks, like you said, from South Oklahoma. Harry Robinson, South Oklahoma. Hey, I really wanted to call just to mess with Tommy Kraft. That's the boy over there. Last Friday, you guys had that guy call in and talk about how Arkansas was going to whoop some butt and it was going to be overnight and you guys should put all your money on him. Hey, I don't really have much to say. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that conversation this week.
I believe you're referring to Michael in Stuttgart. Is that correct?
Let's go. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's listening, but I'm sure it's not going to matter if he's listening or not. Listen. Michael Stuttgart is well-renowned in the sports radio world here in the state of Arkansas. People know who he is. They know what he's done. They know the type of person when he calls in. He has a lot of opinions, and he's very...
He's often wrong, but never in doubt.
Exactly.
He's very confident. He's like a lot of us in life. He has a strong opinion, and he's willing... Give him credit for being willing to put it out there.
Hey.
A lot of people have opinions, but they keep them to themselves.
Yeah.
Which can be also good in its own right, too.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, picking and choosing your battles there. But, you know, Michael has not called back since. In fact, that was the first time last week that we heard from Michael in quite some time. So he says he continues to listen, and who knows, maybe he'll call in this week. I doubt, for some reason, Tommy, I just doubt he'll admit he will be wrong.
I've heard him, when he has been wrong, he has admitted he's wrong.
Really?
I've heard him eat his serving of crow before.
When?
Well, on occasion.
I guess I have not heard it. But Chance, if he calls in, I don't know if he'll eat crow or not, but it was certainly something to behold of him coming out and saying that, you know, he's guaranteeing the win, guaranteeing that it's going to be a bloodbath, guaranteeing that Chad Morris is going to be the greatest thing ever. Certainly hasn't played out that way, but I really appreciate you calling in, man. Let's continue to go on to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matt is in Mansfield. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, John? What's up, Tommy? Hey,
what's up, man?
What's up, guys? I wanted to touch on something y'all said last session about Cheyenne O'Grady leaving the team. Say whatever you want, but I'm a big New England Patriots fan. Being that said, Bill Belichick is notorious for taking Arkansas football players. I will bet you $1 to a donut that he doesn't even have to come to the NFL Combine, that Bill Belichick has done been watching him. New England needs a tight end. They know that other schools, that other teams in the NFL may not take him. I will bet you a dime to a donut, Cheyenne O'Grady ends up being a New England Patriot next season.
Oh, and what would be
my word for it.
What would be his end there? Who would be there to, well, maybe make sure he gets consideration?
Well, we all know a certain guy that we're playing money to that he probably that I would rather not say his name because I'm just kind of sick of what he's done already at New England. He brought off the best defensive player on the D-line that we had because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. But anyway, that being said, Brett Bielema. But I do think it's not going to matter, guys. Y'all can chew on this, pass around the table, see what y'all think. But mark my words, come next training camp, Cheyenne O'Grady will be in a Patriot uniform.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Matt. And honestly, I don't think that would be a bad prediction. And if you're talking about dollars to donuts, we all know what Brett Bielema prefers in that regard. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Mike is in traffic.
That was just plain mean, John.
He's not listening. I can get away with it. Mike is in traffic in Texas. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, you know, Chad Morris actually helped me be a better dad and a better husband. I used to, my wife and kids would complain on game day when the Hogs would lose or play terrible, and I'd be a little grouchy, a little grumpy the rest of the day. I don't feel that anymore. When they lose, it's just expected. It's just another Saturday. And so I kind of thank him for that. He helped me get over the Hogs losing, and for that I thank him. And then also just want to throw this out there about Vanover.
Yeah.
How much you want to bet that the NCAA is just doing their stuff in alphabetical order, and simply because he has the last name that starts with a V, we don't have an answer yet. That's how incompetent they are. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Mike. I can't, you know, that theory is about as good as any when it comes to why Vanover has not had any sort of word on his eligibility this season. Maybe it is in alphabetical order. But it's funny you brought up those, as far as you being a better husband and a better father, you know, not to say it's the exact same situation, but, you know, my brother, he's a diehard Razorback fan, and he took Saturdays in the fall so seriously, and sometimes it would get the best of him where he'd be in a bad mood all day long, all weekend long, and made it miserable if the Razorbacks lost. But he's gotten to the point now he doesn't even watch the games because of how bad it was. So I know that there's probably a lot of people out there that feel the same way you do as well, man. So, but appreciate the phone call, Matt, and appreciate you listening in. So, but we're going to continue to take your phone calls and text messages via the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Wesley just texted and says, Michael and Stuttgart won't call in unless we beat Western Kentucky. Then he'll double down. Now that I could see, Wesley. I could absolutely see Michael calling in after a victory and saying, see, guys, I told you. Here's why it all messed up. Here's why it all went wrong. But, you know, hey, if he calls in, we'll address it and we'll get to that point right then and there. So that's all I'm saying. All right. Let's go ahead and get into one of the newer segments here on The Morning Rush, Scrubs and Dubs.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world, and I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on The Morning Rush.
That's right. It's a very simple concept, folks. You don't need to make it more difficult than what it is. It's simply saying who gets a victory, who looks good, why they look good, and then also who's the loser in the whole weekend.
Scrubs and Dubs brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas. Right now, make a hot spring spa part of your day-to-day routine and discover what it means to get more out of each day. And right now, it's hot tub weather. Get a hot spring spa, the number one spa on the market. More features, more quality, better efficiency than any spa you'll find anywhere. And instant rebates right now up to $1,000 when you purchase a select hot springs model from Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith. And always online at burtonpools.com, your local hot springs dealer. Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun.
Now, we can have multiple ones to this, and it doesn't have to be necessarily sports related, just like pretty much every one of our other segments, too. So,
all right.
I'll go ahead and kick it off with my dub. I'm going to give a dub to Kevin Harlan.
All right.
The famous announcer that's been around. Of course, he does a great job. He calls the Monday Night Football games on Westwood One. Well, there was a black cat that ran onto the field last night between the Giants and Cowboys.
That was spooky.
Yeah, I mean, if it would have happened last week, like during the Halloween time, it would have been really weird. But it was certainly a storyline that went viral on social media. Well, of course, Kevin Harlan, who, if there's a streaker on the field, he always has to give you play-by-play. He did the same thing with the cat. Take a listen.
Oh, there's a cat on the play. Cat is taking the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side.
Can't do anything with it. It's coming through the same source.
Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25 to the 24-yard line. Of the Dallas Cowboys, it's a catch on the 15.
May have to just, we'll figure that out. But, okay, so my point is that if it was a great thing.
Right.
It was a great That's my point. I should have had it. It should have had it set up.
Sounded like the president there. It was a great thing.
It was a great thing. It was great. It worked. So go ahead and we'll find a way to play that, of course, later in the thing. But it was a great call. I'll start with that. But I'll also give another dub to Eric Musselman and just the job that he does and promoting the program and promoting himself. You see, he was dressed as a shark yesterday.
Yes.
And
Sharkinsaw
is a thing. Yep. And it was just he was sitting at his desk dressed like a shark, wanting all the students to come out and support the Razorbacks. So he's just a guy that gets it, and he's a guy that has fun and a guy that doesn't take himself too seriously. He likes to go along with it. It's just awesome. So I got to give a dub to him as well.
All right, I'm giving a dub to Memphis. Not just the football program, the whole town.
Oh, yeah.
College game day was just, all right, what do I say? Off the chain, off the, what do we say today, John? I don't know.
It was lit, Tommy.
It was lit.
It was lit.
Were they woke?
No, don't say woke. Don't say woke. Woke's bad.
Memphis was awesome this weekend, and they won the game, of course, 54-48 over SMU. That was pretty good. But just the whole appearance of Memphis, and places like Memphis doesn't get game day very often.
No, they don't.
Now, this was a top 25 matchup. It helped that it was a week where you didn't have two Power 5 schools in the top 10 going at each other. It lined up well. But I thought the way that the whole thing presented itself was just awesome. And they get the 8-1. Memphis, Bill Street, game day. Brady White, 350 yards. three touchdowns, just all of it was awesome. Memphis gets my dub.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. That's a good one. All right, Matty T, do you have someone you want to give a dub to today?
Mine was going to be the cat. Was my champ.
You can still take that one. Okay. Since apparently I couldn't play the audio, so it doesn't matter. I tried doing that. We'll have to figure it out.
They have a training session.
Yeah, apparently.
The Oregon Ducks have porta potty toilets on their sidelines during games now. So
that's actually a really good.
That's not a bad idea.
So that's actually that's a dub. Good job. We should do that at Razorback games, and maybe that's what the problem is. Everybody's so bound up that they're not performing at their full ability.
Well, you're holding it
until halftime.
Well, here's the thing that would be funny about that though is that if the player goes in there and he's in there for a while, the thing is the media is going to start tweeting out, being like, it's just going to be like, hey, all right, so obviously he's not feeling well.
But don't you always worry if you go in one of those? You always try to limit how many times you go into a porta john, right? It's only on like emergencies, right?
Yes, of course.
That you worry, especially when you're around buddies and other guys. Don't you always worry about someone tipping one of those over on you while you're in it?
Especially on the sidelines. Like if there's an arid tackle or something like that that gets brought out of bounds.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I never thought about that one.
So
now that would be a story if a porta potty got knocked over while a player was in it or a cheerleader or somebody like that. That would be great.
Or with my luck, with the kind of luck I have, I would finally get these great front row seats, and I would be where's your seat? Right behind the porta john.
Yeah,
you know?
So you can't really see. You gotta kind of stand up to look over the porta potty. Oh, good grief!
Where are your seats? Behind the crapper.
is that a good recruiting pitch? Like, hey, we got toilets on the sidelines during your games. Name another school that has that.
I remember Arizona State. I can tell you because when Arkansas played them, must it have been 2009 in the Super Regionals?
Yes.
I remember me and Ruskin were sitting there watching the game. We were out there, you know, and Jeff Long comes over. And he's sitting there with us and chit-chatting. There wasn't a whole lot of media, so he comes up. And he points that out. He goes, look at this dump. They got porta-potties down there down the right field line.
Does that make it bad that they had border potties?
It was a primitive stadium, you know? But if you were in the bullpen, that's what they had for you.
Yeah.
You were down there. You had a porta-john down by the fair pole.
And let me throw this out real quick since we're on topic. At Razorback baseball games, can you, the University of Arkansas, I know you're listening, put more porta potties out in the hog pen? Because the lines are getting ridiculous in the bathroom. And, you know, people who don't want to spend money on water, they go in and refill their cups inside of the sink. And it's tap water. What's wrong with that? It's no different than coming out of your sink.
I don't know. There's probably particles floating around in the air.
No, that's unacceptable.
Well, if you're water and you don't want to spend $3, you're going to spend the $3?
I'm spending $3. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm waiting in line.
I'm
just trying to help out the people out there in the hall.
I'm not refilling my water bottle in the bathroom sink at the stadium. I'm sorry. No.
I'm sorry. It's not highfalutin enough.
I will dehydrate first.
Hey, it's still water.
I will drink the water out of the ice chest first.
It drinks. Just get you. It's surprisingly shocking how many people do that. So Bradford and Van Buren. He just texted in and says, I would spend $15 before doing that.
<How would you? laughs>
All right. Well, I'm not one of these people. I'm just throwing it out there that I've seen
it happening. I'm opening the bid at $15.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's bad. All right. I'm going to go ahead and jump into.
I don't even drink water out of the tap in my own house from the bathroom, much less the public restroom at the stadium.
Yeah, it might as well be the toilet.
Well, some of us can't have our own personal water filters there, Tommy. Some of us have to live off the land with the tap water that comes through
the land.
And then comes through the tap.
Like living off the land.
All right. My scrub for this, there was a few. I do want to do something different from Razorback football because I feel like you could do that every single week. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. First off, the New York Jets, the team that, I'm not a huge NFL fan, but if there was a team, it's the Jets. They're awful. They lost to the winless Dolphins. For some reason, their only win this year has been against the Dallas Cowboys. They are atrocious and awful, and they just continue to be a terrible franchise and make all the wrong decisions. I want to do that. And also, I'm a big Baker Mayfield guy. Fully admit, I dressed up as him as Halloween just last year where Officer Breeden tackled me. We have pictures, evidence of that. But did you see his picture, what he looks like now with his mustache and his long hair?
Yeah.
It's amazing what Cleveland will do to a man if you have to play there, where you go from being this good-looking, fresh-faced, excited guy, and then you have Baker that looks like I don't even know what he looked like or what he looks
like. He'd been drinking tap water in the bathroom.
Yeah,
so looks
and,
like.
Well, and maybe that was the case. He looked very gross. So I don't know, man. Present yourself. You're Baker Mayfield, for crying out loud. You haven't been playing well this year. At least look good when you go in front of the press. So there's who I give my scrub.
What? I've got Arkansas defense written down. Okay, here. I was going to do this. Do I do that or do I do the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Do the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yeah, for sure. That's more
fun. That's all the hype right now.
That's right.
Is it worth all the hype?
I think it's really good.
This weekend, I get out I'm out of town, so I will throw a Popeye's because I got to try it. I have not had one. You had one months ago when this mysterious sandwich appeared on the market.
I did. Both of them.
There's three cars in the drive-thru. I said, oh, this is it.
This is the time.
This is the time. There's three cars in the drive-thru. Now, I am off in Oklahoma, so this is not anywhere near here.
But it is a fast food restaurant.
But it is a fast food restaurant. There are two cars in front of me and me. So I wheel in there. I order the sandwich. I order an iced tea. 25 minutes later, I get this chicken sandwich, which isn't bad. If the comparison is to Chick-fil-A, they're both really good.
In their own ways.
Mm-hmm. It's a bigger chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
It falls off the bun, I guess you could say.
and it's Popeye style. So if you like Popeyes,
yeah. You're going to like it.
I'm shocked you waited 25 minutes.
It was one of those deals where you couldn't get out.
Well, they had your money already.
But they had me curbed in. There was no way to get out without hopping a curb.
Locked you in.
I was locked in. Then the cars got in behind me, so there was nowhere to go.
There's no backing out.
So that was, there's no backing out because then cars piled in behind me because they had the same idea. So I get to the window 25 minutes after ordering and inform them of my
displeasure,
excitement about waiting 25 minutes, 2 hours from home to get this sandwich. And I was, sir, we're shorthanded, and, just excuse after excuse after. It was more excuses than a Chad Morris press conference. It was unbelievable. And by the way, our debit card machine is broken. It's cash only today. Oh, how convenient, So fortunately, I scraped up enough nickels out of the ashtray to pay for my $4 sandwich and moved on down the road.
Oh, but, you don't have a wad of hundreds that you just?
Yeah, I just peeled them off.
Did they not take any bills larger?
I'd unwind the rubber band. Yes.
Inconsequential. Yeah.
Now, in that situation, I would have been stuck in line and not able to buy the sandwich because I don't carry cash.
No one carries cash.
But anyway, fortunately, I had about $7 and I was good to go. But anyway.
Was it good?
That's the sandwich was good. The customer service sucked. And that's why Chick-fil-A will win because they're.
Hey,
and I never wait at Chick-fil-A because I'm just not programmed to wait in lines. Mm-hmm. But their customer service is always
it's their pleasure to help you.
Exactly.
Yes. They have
I'm happy I was able to bring you pleasure today.
They have mouthwash in the bathrooms.
Do they really?
Yes.
Get out of here.
I mean, we don't deserve Chick-fil-A.
That sounds
as a human race. Yeah. We do not deserve Chick-fil-A. But Tommy, I know that you hate waiting. Waiting in lines is like, I think that...
unnecessarily waiting. That's what I hate.
Yeah.
Waiting for good reason's one thing.
Yeah.
Waiting for no good reason, because they always pull me forward when I... But why can't you pull the person in front of me that,
Well, they say waiting is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just tell you, it wasn't worth the 25-minute wait.
Yeah.
And then I saw some people tweeting about the long lines on Sunday.
I've been seeing it a lot of people posting it.
I just don't understand.
So it's
this.
Not just them being shorthanded. It's Popeyes
in general.
In general.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but listen, when there's a line that's literally a quarter mile to get into your parking lot, folks, the sandwich is good. It isn't that good.
No. No.
It isn't worth a 2-hour wait for a sandwich.
No. Just do the waiter app or, go at 2:00 in the afternoon when it's going to slow down. Something like that. But,
it is good, but let's just not get ridiculous.
Well, I just feel like that if Tommy ever had to spend eternity in that bad place where they don't serve ice water, his eternal punishment would be waiting in line.
Yes.
Like that's what it'd be. It'd just be waiting in line. There's like, hey, there's something really great at the end. There's ice water at the end. You just got to wait in line for your turn. Yeah. And then
it's
eternally.
For eternity.
Yeah. And then it's for eternity. Just waiting in
like
line.
Like being at the DMV the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's like Tommy's Twilight Zone episode. It ends like that. He's in a never-ending line.
Like
when you walk in to renew your driver's license or get tags or whatever, and you pull a number and it's 58 and they're serving, number 12.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
You know it's going to be a long day if that's the case. All right, Maddie, what you got for the scrub?
We've only got a minute here, but this one I'll ask you guys what you think. This my Scrub would be the referee that made this call last night in the Giants and Cowboys game. There was a call against Xavier Woods for pushing the quarterback out of bounds, you know, and he ran to a TV crew member. Well, he got an unsportsmanlike call or a taunting call. And I would say that that's a ridiculous call. And I wanted to ask, Tommy, does that deserve to be a...
I didn't see it. So they called him for taunting?
Yes.
So was he...
It was... Yeah, it was. It was a unsportsmanlike conduct call for taunting.
For taunting,
yeah,
because he hit him out of bounds and late, and he was taunting
I'd
him.
Say the late hit out of bounds. I'd have to know what he did to be for taunting. That, that is very unusual, Matty.
Because taunting to me is
taunting
always,
is when you get up in someone's face or you you're using words to you know, talk about their mother.
But isn't that more of a college football thing? I feel like in the NFL you can do a little
they
more
talk
taunting.
A lot.
I thought they were all about it.
Yeah.
So as a casual observer, I thought that I would give a scrub to the official that made that.
That sounds very unusual. There's been a lot of complaining about the over-officiating in the NFL this year.
Yeah, just, you know.
Some of that's because they have so many rules to violate. You know, you can't throw a flag on a rule that doesn't exist, you know.
Well,
the NFL has created so many rules that there's going to be more flags because you have more rules.
Yeah. Well, I know that the two Golics this morning, Golic Senior and Junior, have got heated on their show talking about this pass interference call that where it gets reviewed and it looks like blatant pass interference. Gets reviewed, gets a challenge flag thrown, and then they still don't call pass interference. And, you know, judgment calls are always tough because it's like, hey, if you technically just put your hand on them, isn't that technically by rule pass interference?
No.
Oh, it's not? I thought it was contact in any way.
Well, what made you say that?
I don't know. Just I've always thought that if it, I always thought it was
you just
it was,
made that up.
I thought I thought it was contact means it was pass interference.
If that was the case, Ahmad Carroll would have never been able to play a down.
Well, Tommy, give me the book definition then. Quote it. Quote it for me.
You may quote it for you. I'm, let me get the. I'm not going to quote it.
Rule 8.2.3.7.4a.
9.431c.
Okay.
D,
yeah.
Exception 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Break me down. Okay. I just thought it was contact. But the whole point is that, yeah, there's been some issues with the NFL. And one of the reasons why is the over officiating and the amount of rules that they have to keep up with.
They do have a lot of rules.
Yes,
and they keep adding rules. And most of them prohibit the defense from doing things in the NFL.
Yep. But I understand the intent, and I understand that the officials have a tough job, and it makes it tougher on them to have to regulate all this.
Just remember, when the ball goes up, the defender and the offensive player have an equal right to the ball.
That's right. That's right. NFL's about equality when it comes to the when the ball is up in the air. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, and that is Dubs and Scrubs. So if you want to get in on it, be sure to call or text in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.